Praise God. Say that with me. Praise God. I'm going to dismiss the kids in just one moment. Before they leave, is Gabe here? He's supposed to be here. He's already upstairs. Jeremy, you can stand in for Gabe.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. All right, there you go. We're going to see how this works, okay? Jeremy, if you've been looking at a gift of some sort, you know, some sort of present that maybe you've been really, really looking for, and say your wife Patty surprises you with that gift, what's your physical reaction going to be? Okay? Just surprised. Oh, well, let's see. Okay. Okay, come here. Come here, man. Stand right here. Okay, your dad did fairly good. Come here. He did all right. All right, so I was asking him this question. All right? When you get a present that you really, really, really want, how do you react?
Yay!
That was similar. Yeah, very similar. Do it again, because they love seeing you stand on chairs. Go ahead. How would you react?
Yay!
All right. Thank you, man. Give me a high five. You can head down to Children's Church. Go ahead and follow our friends in the back. You might be the only one going to Children's Church. Have fun. Great reaction. You notice how he reacted, right? Yay! Okay, so last week, Abby and I shared with our sons that we're going to take them over to Seattle for a quick weekend trip. And they had two different reactions, both reactions of excitement. One of them, I won't say which one, was excited. So we say, are you excited? Okay. And the other one reacted very similarly to Gabe. Yeah. All right. When you get excited, what do? You raise your hands, right? When your team scores a touchdown, what do? Show me. Some of y'all are like, and then the others, all right, when Gonzaga drains a three-pointer to make it into the final championship game, how do you react? Okay, that's better. That is better. Excitement, joy, jubilation, elation, enjoyment. What happens naturally when we experience those things? Our hands go up, yeah? Okay, let's say you like roller coasters. Let's pretend you like roller coasters. You're okay, so for those who like roller coasters, if you are on the top of the hill right before it drops down, what do? I love it. Love it. This is fun. This last Monday, Pastor Dickinson from Colville, our Colville Free Methodist Church, he was riding his motorcycle from Colville down to Walla Walla, and he needed a break when he hit Spokane, and he had seen our new parking lot. So he came in, and he stopped at his motorcycle, great, great bike. He came in, we got his water filled up, we chatted for a while, and he commented on the parking lot, asked where we got it done, and then he had to go. So I'm like, hey, as you go, it's empty, man, just go drive in circles for a while. I looked out my window in the office. He was going in circles, and right before he left, he looked up at my window. You know what I did? Because I so wanted to be on that bike. It's natural, right? 2 years ago, Abby and I went to a U2 concert, okay, the band U2. I'd never been to a U2 concert before, but there was like 67,000 people there is where the Seahawks played. Just unreal. And, you know, a good couple opening bands, and then there was a long intermission because they were waiting for it to get dark. But as soon as it got dark and the band U2 walked out, everybody stood up. It was nuts. Okay, and as soon as that first guitar strum took place, what happened? 67,000 hands went up. And I was like, I mean, just in awe. And they kept their hands up for almost the entire 3 hours. It was nuts. As a general conference 2 weeks ago, 2,400 Free Methodists. Okay? And there were some up-tempo bands, some phenomenal worship teams. And you know what happened? About half of them raised their hands. That's okay. You know, I'm not throwing any stones, okay? We're free. We're free to raise our hands. We're free not to raise our hands. That's fine. But I started thinking, why is something that is so natural for us, why does it become so unnatural when we come to church? We're going to think about that a little bit this morning. We're going to dig a little bit deeper. But first, let me pray. Father, I do thank you that I get to be part of a family that laughs together. We do realize there are hardships, there are challenging times, and we grieve and mourn, and we walk through these times together, but there are also times where we celebrate, where we praise, and where we do so in ways maybe we're not used to. God, this morning I'm looking forward to what you have to say to each of us. Would you help us hear? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Why is something that's so natural, so unnatural? Grab your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 67. Okay, as you're turning there, a little background on how this new sermon series came to be. The sermon series is called Praise God. And I've been thinking about that phrase for a while, praise God. So on Sunday mornings, we say it, I've said it a few times, and we genuinely mean it. We come to God's house to corporately praise together. But also on Sunday morning, sometimes we use that phrase as like a transition piece, right? We transition from one song to the next, and so that there's not dead space, we're like, well, praise God, and then we start the next one. Sometimes we use it just to give like perfunctory thanks. Driving around, you're in the parking lot at Safeway, and all of a sudden that first spot opens up, and you're like, praise God, I've been living right. Yeah? Sometimes, and this is sad because I've seen this take place in the last 3 weeks, we use that phrase, praise God, to end the conversation. I mean, so someone's talking, they're sharing deeply, and you're sitting there looking at your clock, and you're like, oh, praise God, thanks for sharing, I need to go. I've seen it in the last 3 weeks. Praise God, I've been thinking through how often we say this and when and how we say it. Okay, so several months back, Abby and I got invited to a last-minute concert. The concert wasn't last-minute, but the invite was last-minute, down at the arena. Chris Tomlin and several others, so a good Christian concert. And as is so often the case, in the middle of the different sets, somebody came out on the stage and shared a little devotional. If you've been to a Christian concert, you know what we're talking about. Oftentimes, it's a plea to help sponsor a child or some other gospel message. This time, the guy that came out, he shared the word praise with us, and the seven Hebrew words for praise that our English Bibles translate just as praise. It was phenomenal. To me, it was a highlight of the entire concert. I mean, this guy did that all in about 10 minutes, and I was floored. So I was still thinking about it the next day when Coach Mace came up to me. We were meeting, and he's like, hey, I went to a concert last night. I was like, no way, I was there. And he said, did you see that guy who talked about the words praise? Yeah. It was so impactful that I thought, if that guy can do it in 10 minutes, I could probably do it in 7 weeks. Praise God. So this is how this sermon series came to be, okay? The guy who shared wrote a book. It's called Holy Roar. Darren Whitehead co-wrote it with Chris Tomlin, a modern-day worship leader. So much of the inspiration for this sermon series came from that book. Now, I'm only saying this just in case Chris Tomlin is listening to this sermon online. You guys are laughing. Chris, if you're listening, okay, inspiration came from this book. Ultimately, we are preaching Scripture, though, not this book. So we're going to dive right into Psalm 67. You've already said it responsively. You've heard different passages on praise already spoken this morning. But just listen. I'm reading from the ESV, the English Standard Version. The psalmist writes, may God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity, and you guide the nations upon the earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the earth, the ends of the earth, fear him. That is God's word to us. And what a beautiful psalm that is. I mean, it starts off with what I so often finish a Sunday morning with, just an echo of the Numbers chapter 6 priestly blessing. You know, it starts off with this in verse 1. It says, "May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face to shine upon us." Numbers chapter 6, this is Aaron blessing the Israelite people, just that specific group. Then our psalmist continues in verse 2, and he says this, "That your way may be known on the earth, your saving power among all nations." So we get from the number six blessing to this, where the blessing expands to all nations, and I love that. "Your way be known among all nations," it says. And if that were to take place, what would happen if God's ways were known on all the earth? What would the response be? Well, the psalmist says the response would be verse 3, which is this, "Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you." If God's ways were known, what would take place? Praise. Praise would take place. And the Hebrew word there for praise is yada. Yada. Say that with me. Yada. One more time. Yada. Okay, we're going to look closely at that word in a bit. But now let's keep going. Okay, so verse 3, actually, it says, "Let the peoples yada you, O God. Let all the peoples yada you." And we ask that next question, okay, so God's ways are being known, the people are praising. What are they praising for? We see this answer in verse 4. "Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity, and you guide the nations upon the earth." So what are the peoples yada-ing for? Well, one, God judges equally. And I love what one of the commentaries that I use has to say. It says, "God will treat all people just as God treats Abraham's family. God's justice is not contained by national borders or by religion or by race. God's justice and his guidance are intended for all. God's judgment is the reason for praise. For God comes not to destroy, but to set the world right and to bring all into God's kingdom." I mean, when people who see God's people but aren't God's people see that God's going to judge equally, that's reason to start praising. And when they understand that God wants to guide them as well, that's reason for praising. That's the end of that verse. "And guide the nations upon the earth." So what happens when these people realize that is the heartbeat of God? What happens? Verse 5 happens. Looks a lot like verse 3. "Let the peoples yada you. Let them praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you." You're like, wait, again? Yeah. Praise again. Equity and judgment. Guidance for the nations. And the psalmist then continues with more reasons, the last two verses, to praise God. Verse 6 and 7, "The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him." So why else do people praise? Well, the earth is providing its harvest. Raise your hand if you like food. Okay, the three that didn't raise your hand, you're lying. Okay, God's blessing is being poured out by his provision. And when the people are seeing that God's providing, when they're seeing he's guiding, when they're seeing he's judging equally, what takes place? God is blessed and he is praised. He is praised. So, praise God. Say that with me. Praise God. In this psalm, the psalmists are calling people to yada God. And we've looked at why they are. Now we look at how they are. As you saw, both 3 and verse 5 are exactly the same. So, verse 3 says this. It says this. It says, "Let all the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples yada you." Now, this Hebrew word yada, the authors of the book Holy Roar say, is an eternal verb. It's a verb that doesn't change. It's something that people do from the beginning of time, something they're still doing, and something they will continue to do. It's a certain posture of praise. Now, as with all Hebrew words, there's multiple different definitions that you could use. Okay? One of them, found in Jeremiah chapter 50, the word yada means when the archer pulled his arrow back to fire it. Look at where the hand is. In Lamentations chapter 3, the word yada is used when somebody throws a stone. Again, look at where the hand is. Now, the word yada is used about 114 times in the Old Testament, and the majority of those, maybe upwards of 110, 111, are used in the Psalms. In the Psalms. And the overwhelming definition, the overwhelming meaning of the term yada in the Psalms is to extend your hands, to raise your hands, to lift up your hands. So verse 5 says, let the nations lift up their hands to you. Yada you, O God. Let all the peoples lift up their hands in praise to you. I did not grow up in a hand-raising type of church. I grew up in a small church on an Indian reservation, a Mennonite church. Okay, we sang three songs out of the English hymnal. We sang two songs out of the Cheyenne hymnal. And I did not see a single hand raised in church until I was a freshman in college. Well, I had run from the faith. Somebody in one of my classes invited me back to church, and she went to an Assemblies of God church. I walked in, I saw like 10 hands raised, and I'm like, what, they get asked questions in this church? Was there for a while, and then moved to Spokane to go to Whitworth, and Abby and I got married, and Whitworth has this thing on Thursday nights called Hosanna, where it's a worship gathering, praise and worship, and I tell you what, you get 50, 100, 200, 300 college students in a room where they're worshiping, and you know what took place? Hands went up. And I thought, wow, the Assemblies of God Church? Doesn't Presbyterians do it? So we moved to Chicago, and then we started looking for a church, and we ended up again at another charismatic-type church for a while, a good couple of months. And similar to the U2 concert, as soon as the music started, every single hand went up. And I started getting okay with that. I started getting comfortable with it. Yeah, we moved back here. I'm pastoring First Church, where I know some people raise their hands, some people don't. It's okay. Again, we're free one way or the other. But I think this is part of why I got such a kick out of this video that I've seen before. But this is a comedian who talks about raising hands in church. Listen to what he has to say.
And I know that each church has its own worship style, you know. Which is cool. Some people are more expressive in worship, some people more subtle, and it's all good. I go to a church that's pretty expressive in worship. It's a hand-raising church. That's what it is, right? That's what, you know. Anybody here go to a hand-raising church? Am I here? Sweet. Who here does not go to a hand-raising church? Some of you are trying, you're like, I can't. I want to, Tim. Need to get some momentum. Totally cool. But hey, if you're not used to going to a hand-raising church, you want to go and join us, feel free to join us, but don't feel like you got to join right in, okay? Start slow. We got a lot of different hand raises that we use. We actually have names for our hand raises. So I'm going to walk you through real quick, okay, what they are, just to let you know. Say you're my church, music is rocking. Start slow. Hands in the pockets, little elbow flap. You're fine. Very subtle. Get warmed up. Get your heart rate up. When you're warmed up, start with the first one. Ready? Carry the TV. Carry the TV. That's our first one. Very subtle. Go to big screen. Big screen, a little wider. Next one's my fish was this big. My fish was this big. If you're a liar, you can go out there. That's fine. Don't worry about it. Jesus loves you. Grace. Next one's hold my baby. Hold my baby. Got dueling light bulbs. That's our next one, dueling light bulbs. Got goalpost. Everybody knows goalpost. Throwing a heartburn. A lot of people like to do heartburn. Double heartburn, right back to goalpost. What's my favorite? Mufasa. Mufasa, that's my favorite. The circle of life. Tim, can you go higher? Yes, you can. You can take one hand, go a bunch of different stuff. Pointer, hatchet, schoolroom. Release the doves, give the Lord a high five. Press it out. A lot of women like to wash the window. Wash the window. And when you're comfortable there, go for the big three. Village People, Rocky, touchdown. There you go. There's your big three.
Are you all right? Wasn't that good? I mean, yes, we can laugh about it, right? We really can. I had to ask the question, all right? Praising God, raising our hands in praise, is that something that God's people did? Is that something that they did in the story of God? Well, we know at least some individuals did that, all right? King Solomon, the Ark of the Covenant had been captured and taken away, but when he rebuilt the temple, he brought it to the temple, and the glory of the Lord's presence filled the temple, and listen to what he did. In 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 22 and 23, it says, "Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in front of the entire community of Israel. He lifted his hands towards heaven, and he prayed. O Lord, God of Israel, there is no God like you in all of heaven, above or on the earth below. You keep your covenant and show your unfailing love to all who walk before you in wholehearted devotion." Okay, so we know Solomon raised his hands. Another story, another guy. Okay, in the book of Nehemiah, there had just been a rebuild project. The wall around Jerusalem had been rebuilt. Ezra, the scribe, had gathered all the people together to read Scripture. And old and young, they had stood there while he read Scripture. And then we see this in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 6. It says, "Then Ezra praised," "praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people chanted, 'Amen, amen,' as they lifted their hands in praise. Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground." Okay, so at least two people in the Bible raise their hands. The book traditionally ascribed to Jeremiah, Lamentations, we see this, Lamentations chapter 3, verse 40 and 41. "Instead, let us test and examine our ways. Let us turn back to the Lord. Let us lift our hearts and our hands to God in heaven and say," and then of course the verse continues. So we've got three people in the Bible that raise their hands. We've got Solomon, we've got Ezra, and the other people who are with him, and we've got Jeremiah. Did the Israelites raise their hands in worship? Well, we don't know yet. We sang a song by Chris Tomlin that had the opening line of, "We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength." That's from out of our kind of corporate song book, not the hymnal, but it's out of some of the songs that we use regularly. So I think one of the things we can look at and wrestle with to find out, did the Israelites in general raise their hands as worship, is we look at their songbook. Their songbook is the book of Psalms. You've heard some of these verses already. Listen again to four different voices reading from the Israelite songbook.
"Listen to my prayer for mercy as I cry out to you for help, as I lift up my hands towards your holy sanctuary.
I will praise you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in prayer.
My eyes are blinded by my tears. Each day I beg for your help, O Lord. I lift my hands to you for mercy.
Lift your hands towards the sanctuary and praise the Lord.
Accept my prayer as incense offered to you and my upraised hands as an evening offering.
I lift my hands to you in prayer. I thirst for you as parched land thirsts for rain."
Yada. From six different psalms of the 50, and I'm sure we could find quite a bit more. So the question is, the answer is yes, but the question is, did the Israelites raise their hands in worship? Yes. They yadad God. It was natural for them. So for us, for some, why is it so hard? Why is it difficult? I mean, it's easy for us to cheer in jubilation when our team scores, but then we walk into a church and it's like, I don't know if I'm supposed to do this. I mean, is it something practical, like we're worried about sweating? Trust me, if you've been here any amount of weeks, you know nobody will sweat in here more than me on a Sunday. Okay? Is it because we weren't taught how to do it? Is it because we didn't have people setting an example, doing it as we grew up? Could it be those things? Could it be something deeper? I mean, Psalm 67, the Psalm of Yadaing, speaks of all the nations learning of God's ways. And I know that for many of us, we walk journeys with people on their stages of faith, their trails of faith, and we're praying for them and they're wrestling with whether or not to follow Jesus. And when they do, oftentimes, you know, we're like, yeah, give me a high five for that. And that's awesome. Do we want to have those hands raised for everybody to come to know God's ways? It's natural to raise our hands when we're happy. Does the fact that we don't mean we're not full of the joy of our salvation? Not necessarily. Probably not at all. Is God worthy of our outstretched hands? When we proclaim praise God, are we willing to accept that it might mean lifting our hands a little bit? Maybe. Now, friends, I have no intention at all of guilting anybody into raising their hands in worship. Please, 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 please don't hear that. If you've never done it and you're not comfortable doing it, I'm not saying to do it yet. There's six other Hebrew words that we translate as praise, and it might be that one of these other postures of praise may be something you connect with more. So keep coming back over the next 6 weeks. I do want to give us takeaways from this. All right? Because I like to do that at the end of every sermon, something that we can practically apply. So the first is kind of humorous. I would love it if this week you paid attention to when your hands went up, okay? In joy and celebration. You know, maybe your kid's taking their first steps, or maybe the Mariners get a hit. Okay? That's a stretch. We might need to go something else there. Whatever it is, when your hands go up, notice it, okay? And then if you're brave enough, call somebody. Text them and say, hey, I just lifted my hands because I saw somebody doing donuts in the parking lot and I thought it was cool. All right, that's the first thing. Second thing is this. I would encourage you, even if you're not a hand raiser, sometime this week, when you're in the privacy of your own home or your own car or you're out on a walk by yourself, try it.
When I'm private, you bet, baby.
Yeah. There you go. Jason's already practicing. All right, I'd encourage you. It may be uncomfortable. It may be awkward. You may never have done it. You may never want to do it again after that, but it doesn't have to be while you're singing. It could be while you're praying. It could be as simple as, Lord, I lift my hands because I remember that the Israelite people did, so I praise you in this. And then you can put it back down. Okay, so I'd encourage you, try it. You don't have to tell anybody that you did. I'll give you that one, okay? Okay, so two practicals so far. When you're excited, you raise your hands, text somebody. Let them know. Sometime this week, pray or sing or praise with your hands up for a little bit. See what it's like. And the third thing is this. I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up. We're gonna sing a few more songs dealing with praising. And we want to give you an opportunity to raise your hands if you want to. You don't have to. Hear me on that. You don't have to. But if you want to, here's a practical opportunity with a few more songs that we're singing. And again, like the guy on the video talked about, it could be anywhere from here, right, to wherever he, you know, you don't have to go all out. But I'd encourage you, if you are willing to risk, nobody's going to look at you, no one's going to judge you, and if they did, they didn't listen to the sermon. All right? Let's stand as I pray. Lord God, thank you that we get to learn different ways that your people have praised you throughout the story of Scripture. And I thank you that we as your people get to continue to praise you. Father, this morning it's good to learn that praise can mean the lifting up of our hands. God, if nothing else, we lift our hearts up to you. May our postures of praise speak to where the condition of our heart is. Whatever that looks like, Lord. We praise you in a few more songs this morning. We do this in Jesus' name. Amen.